Big up to Smokey J.
Yeah.
I see you.
Yeah.
Doc PLC.
Yeah.
Sweetness. Renegade.
Yeah.
Drill.
Yeah. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros.
Bears,
brews, and the bros.
Yeah,
bears, brews, and the bros. Fun with a shoe with them poles. Keep it real smooth with them hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks. Bears, brews, and the bros. Fun with a shoe with them poles. Keeping it smooth for you hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks. Yeah, get paid. Going against the grain. Push your hard line. Like Renegade. Page and Doc. Time to operate. Nothing sweet when the sweetness debate. Yeah, yeah, you know the drill. Stack more paper. Major players. Led by the fornicator. Smoking Jay. He fucking the game up. Came up. Dropping fire since day one. Yeah, it's boozing the bros. From where they shoot with them poles. Keep it real smooth with them hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks. Bears, boozing the bros. From where they shoot with them poles. Keeping it smooth for you hoes. Bringing the truth to your folks.
Yeah,
bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros. Bears, brews, and the bros.
Tap in, be sure to subscribe. Smash that like button. Drop a comment. Yeah.
Welcome back to Bears, Brews, and the Bros. It's your boy Smoking Jay up in the house, up in the building with my brothers. We got Drilly. We got Sweetness. We are the Bros. We are represented for Doc and Renegade 2. How we feeling tonight, y'all?
A little drunk.
Trying to get my little buzz turned on a little bit. I'm getting there. But nah, man, I'm feeling good, bro, man. Ready to kick it on this motherfucking Part 2, Dynasty Rankings for the wide receivers.
Yes, sir. Part 2. We finally going to get to it, finish up the 13th through 24. Man, it's we kind of lagged a little bit, just a little bit of a day off. I don't know what's going on with Sweetness over there. He's frozen on my end. Is he frozen on your end over there?
Correct. All I see is that schnoz. Look.
Mic check. Sweetness, you still there? Nah, he's not. All right, well, fuck it. We'll take it from here, though. 13 through 24, that's where we're going to dive in. And, yeah, man, I mean, we broke down the first 12. That was straight. And you know what? This is the consensus rankings. This is Dynasty. And 13 through 24 is usually is going to be a mixed batch of wide receivers. Maybe not those well-known wide receivers. And that's what we're here for, bro, to let everybody know what we got in store for them. So I'm gonna kick this shit off. I'm pretty sure Sweetness is gonna jump back in. He's got the link. When he comes back in, I'll let him join the pod. Jamar Chase at number 13, though, is who I got over there in Cincinnati, highly touted out of LSU. And this dude, you know, a lot of hype behind him, you know, when it came to people talking about, oh, he's like the next OBJ coming out of over there, you know, stuff like that. And man, he's going to make an impact. He's already got Burrow. He's already got the connection with him. We already know how, you know, it's really important to have that connection coming out of training camp. He's already got that connection with him going into training camp. So it's going to be dope to see him on that Cincinnati Bengals team. You know, that defense is horrible. We talked about it a lot. And they're going to have to make some plays. They're going to have to put up some points. And we were talking about, too, how the fact that you have all these receiving options and you have Joe Burrow healthy is going to help for fantasy output. And not even just that, they were on a number one pace last year when Burrow was at the helm. They were running the most plays per game. They were up there. So if Burrow could stay healthy, you know, we should be good to go. We should be able to see Jamar Chase come out and do some big things. So for a rookie, yeah, we got him number 13. A lot of people might be like, that's pretty high. He hasn't proved anything yet in the game. We get that. But this guy's handpicked by the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow ahead of that O-line that got offensive lineman that got picked over there in Detroit. What's Buddy's name?
Sewell.
Yes, sir. So and he's tackle. Generational talent, they said. So that lets you know how they feel about Ja'Marr Chase. So yeah, man, big things for Ja'Marr Chase coming, I believe, already his rookie year, man. How you feeling about it?
Oh, man, Brody, bro. This is great. First of all, I was surprised in the draft that Penei Sewell didn't go to them, you know, knowing that O-line helped that they did, because it just sucks. But at the same time, though, we got Ja'Marr Chase coming in. What a great fit with Burrow. I'm thinking that he's going to eat right away. The reason why we got him at number 13 is because I think the rest of the fantasy community all believes too. Like, he got drafted to Cincinnati and immediately became the wide receiver one over there. It's nuts. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, analysts, this is the best guy, that's the best wide receiver that's been drafted, and they got him up there with the likes since Julio Jones. You know what I'm saying? But another thing, you know what I'm saying, is a Biletnikoff winner, one of the best motherfucking offenses with college football when Burrow and him were doing it, won the Biletnikoff Award. And guess who was the fucking wide receiver two over there when he was the wide receiver one? Fucking Justin Jefferson. And we just see what he did last year. So we know what he can breed. And then on top of that, you're going to give him the quarterback that he did it with?
I'm saying.
Come on, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer to me when it comes to Ja'Marr Chase. We got him up there because we believe it. The rest of the fantasy community believes it. And it just is what it is. I understand that there's two other wide receivers over there that they got to feed, but we see Joe Burrow do this, bro. He's the nigga that motherfucking, he can handle all three. They don't have a tight end over there that's worth mentioning at all. Those targets are going to be there, bro. And for anybody to get drafted and immediately become wide receiver one material, bro, you know he's a top dog. So I'm with it.
Yes, sir. We just talk about Ja'Marr Chase. So kind of you to join us again, Sweetness. We talk about Ja'Marr Chase here. We pretty much just broke it down really quick. What are your thoughts on him? First year entering the league, highly touted, coming from that LSU, from that program. We know what they do over there with the wideouts. But like Drilly just said, man, coming to Cincinnati with the quarterback that was throwing him the rock in college, man. What you think?
Yeah, they man, they put up crazy numbers in college. You know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do know that they, you know, they're probably one of the best duos to ever do it as far as receivers go in college. Then you go to the Bengals, you reunited with them. There are other weapons there. You know, you got to talk about the Tyler Boys, the T. Higgins, and Joe Mixon, even all around back, that's going to take some receptions away. But if we're talking dynasty like we are, and big picture, like long term, Ja'Marr Chase is a guy. I mean, he's a talent like no other, I think, in this wide receiver class. So yeah, I mean, there's a reason why he's there. I actually had him in my top 12, but you know, I'm good with him here too. I mean, like I said, his talent compared to all the other receivers that came out in this class, he's a tier up from most of the guys on that list.
Cool, man. We're gonna go ahead, get into the next wide receiver coming in at number 14 on our consensus dynasty wide receiver list is Chris Godwin, man. Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay, got franchise tagged, playing for $16 million this year. And, yeah, man, trying to play for a contract. So we're going to see what's going to happen in the future with him. But for right now, he's in Tampa. He's got Tom Brady throwing him that rock. This is a high-potent offense, another one of those. You know they want to throw the ball all over the place and run up the score with Bruce Arians over there. But so Chris Godwin, man, like, the thing with him is you do got to wonder, where is he going to end up next year? Well, like this is just all of us. We could take a guess and shoot. All of us would probably be wrong. We have no idea. You know what I'm saying? But one thing's for sure. The dude's highly talented, man. He's able to put up points. He's able to produce with either Jameis Winston throwing him the rock or Tom Brady. So, you know, you got, you know, two different type of quarterbacks right there. But, you know, last year, 9 red zone targets. He caught 6 of those for touchdowns. Now, it's great efficiency rate, but that's something that's not really, it's not going to be expected for somebody to be able to produce almost a 70% clip out of your red zone targets. That's almost unheard of. So, you know, that the touchdowns might dip a little bit, especially with Gronk coming in and being more of that red zone target that Tom Brady loves. He's got the chemistry there. You got Mike Evans there, and you got Antonio Brown, who should be playing a full season. So this upcoming year, I think Godwin is probably not going to be who we want him to be, his full potential is really going to be realized after this year when he ends up leaving Tampa, or if he stays in Tampa. If he stays in Tampa, that means some moves are being made with Antonio Brown or something like that. But yeah, man, the only concern I got with him is his target percentage over there. And he was only getting 14%. Like I said, red zone targets. Gronk was getting 25. Mike Evans was getting 23. Now Antonio Brown coming in after a full year with the, you know, playing a full year, you know, that's going to take a dip. In the games that Antonio Brown played last year, which was 11 of them, there was Chris Godwin led them in targets. He had 78. Mike Evans had 77, but Antonio Brown had 76. So he's very much a factor. And pretty much, you know, what I want to say with all of this is, you know, you got to temper your expectations with Godwin too for this year. There's a lot of talent over there. So, you know, just be ready for the rest of these, you know, receivers to take something away for this year. But this is a dynasty list. We're looking at it not just for this year. We're projecting forward. And, you know, this guy coming out of Penn State, man, this dude is one of the best route runners. He does get open. He does make it easier for his quarterback. So Chris Godwin, you know, he's as safe as they come. We have him, you know, ranked 14. I think that's right in line. High wide receiver too. How you guys feeling about Chris Godwin?
Man.
Go ahead, bro.
No, yeah, it's just like you said, man, you got to temper your expectations here with Godwin, just honestly, because he's capped by other people in that offense. Absolutely capped by them. So we might not be able to see his full potential, you know, until he gets traded or goes to another place. So for this year, I'm completely with you, bro. I'm not expecting a career numbers from him. I'm going to start expecting those type of numbers when he gets traded and he becomes the wide receiver one wherever he is. He's not that right now in this offense.
Yeah, man. I just said, man, he's dealing with a couple injuries and shit, smashed the pans, but still over there, still catching balls. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a stud, you know what I'm saying? But like you said, I would have liked to have seen him on a different team, you know what I'm saying, and everything else going. But, I mean, you just come off of winning the Super Bowl. You want to win it again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know
oh,
what
yeah.
I'm saying? And at the same time, we all know that everybody's going to be gunning for him. So he might come out and show out even more, you know what I'm saying? I hope he, you know, 100% healthy. Like I said, we got a whole preseason this year. This is great for football that we get. We got one more game this year, too, as well, you know what I'm saying? So it's crazy, bro, like to think of the potential that he could put off. But I'd rather see him with a different team, too, for fantasy purposes and drafting him and everything else, though, too.
Contract year, though, so we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, he's trying to get paid. Yep.
Yeah, man. Just like our guy A-Rob over here, you know what I'm saying? But still, right. That's how it rolls, man. But I'm good with him there, you know, based on a few. I know you guys haven't rated higher, you know, higher than I have, but I understand the reasoning for the future shit, you know what I mean? So, but in his go, but anybody else got anything on Mr. God and Win in his name?
Oh, man. It's like, there's just, you know, with him, it's more of a situational thing. His talent is there. We know this guy's the truth, man. Just want to see him in a different situation so we can see his actual ceiling, bro, because he's really good.
Yeah, man. You're great, man. We'll get it into our number 15 wide receiver, and that's Keenan Allen, man. Oh, man. That's what can you say? Look, I know he's a little bit of an older guy, but that does not mean shit on one of the highly potent offenses in the motherfucking league, bro. 8 touchdowns, 992 receiving yards, 147 targets with a
God damn.
This dude's a target hog. Now, if we're talking about more than target hog, averaged 8.5 receptions on 12.2 targets per game. That's more than Devontae Adams, and that's more than Stephon Diggs. Now, I think some things are going to change a little bit this year. A lot of those games, Austin Eckler wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? He was hurt. So you got to take that into consideration. But that rapport that he built with Justin Herbert, you know what I'm saying? Bro, they got that chemistry. And Justin Herbert knows that he's a reliable target, as you can see with the 147 targets that got shot to him, bro. Like I said, the only thing I would say is Eckler coming back, target share might go down just a little bit. We're talking about a new head coach, Brandon Staley, who's no fucking stranger to the Chicago Bears, the linebacker coach, assistant coach over here.
Bear down, baby.
Now, you know what I'm saying? It was the same thing for the Broncos. And he's the defensive coordinator over there for the Rams, I believe. That's where he's coming from. And I think the reason why that happened is because they want to cut off the so close games that they're having. But we like it for fantasy purposes because shootout purposes, you know what I'm saying? And we love the fact that, you know, he could throw the ball that many times to fucking Keenan Allen. But then we got Joe Lombardi, who's the new offensive coordinator over there. And we know that he was the QBs. He's the QB coach for the Saints. You know, man, oh, who better, man? You got Drew Brees, who just retired over there. And then you got Lombardi to come over here and groom the young Herbert to be even better than what he was, which, he stepped into a role to take over for Tyrod Taylor and really just took the reins and ran away with it. We know that because Tyrod Taylor's with the Texans now. You know what I'm saying? But just interesting with this shit. Joe Lombardi, motherfucker, was an offensive coordinator over there for the Detroit Lions with Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate, became Pro Bowlers. You know what I'm saying? And Matthew Stafford, all in the same year. So this whole thing, I don't know, the win percentage, the shit for Keenan Allen is still there. It's still great. I'm not sure where the fuck his ADP is, but I'm drafted to Keenan Allen. I don't give a fuck if it's dynasty or not. You know what I'm saying? If you're in win now mode, that's the guy you want for that target share. 147 targets, bro? That's insane. 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 I love it, man. What you guys got on?
Man, yeah, Keenan Allen, target hog, like you said. There was a time where he was on my do not draft list. And that was just because of his injuries. You know, he was getting injured. You know, he was one of those players that you were like, man, you know, like it's too much of a risk. I think he shut all that down. He's proven that he's elite. He's proven that, you know, he's worth all that $20+ million that he's getting every year. So Keenan Allen, like you said, about 150 targets over there with the Chargers. They lost Hunter Henry. So there's going to be some more targets that's got to be there. I know they signed
Jared. That evens out with the Austin Eckler thing.
And then, you know, Jared Cook got signed over there, but he's much older. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's going to do, you know, what Hunter Henry was doing. And it's going to be even more for Keenan Allen. Another year or more, you know, chemistry with Herbert. And like you said, buddy's coming over from the Saints. He was just working with Breeze. I'm pretty sure he could help Herbert out. And it's going to help the connection and the fantasy production for Keenan Allen. So, yeah, man, I love where we have Keenan Allen. You know, shit, I wouldn't mind. I if I could get him on my team, I'm doing it because he's got another two. I would say right now he's in his prime and he's going to be there for another 2 to 3 years at least just because he's got that young quarterback with them now. So, yeah, man, get you some Keenan Allen.
Yeah, man, I definitely don't mind it. I'm not worried about his age. The guy's still producing at a high level, and we get a year two of Justin Herbert in the NFL, and that's the most exciting part to me is usually the guy pitching the ball over there, throwing the ball to him. So Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen for this year, man, if you could get you a stack like that would be nice too, you know what I'm saying, in fantasy. But, yeah, man, I definitely don't mind Keenan Allen on my squad, bro. You guys got anything else on Keenan?
He's the man.
Yeah. He's a shit, bro. A little older, like you said, but you know, we like to go with the 3-year window in Dynasty. You know, if they could give you, you know, three good years of production here, I don't mind it. But yeah, we're gonna dive right into the number 16 guy, DJ Moore, man. DJ Moore is we already know he's a talented dude, man. He last year he finished with 66 receptions on 118 targets for 1193. He ranked number 5 in air yards at 1500 plus, number 6 in deep targets at 26, and number 4 in yards per reception at 18 yards per catch. So, I mean, the dude, you know, 18 yards a catch, he only caught 66 balls last year, but, I just feel like he's going to have a great year coming around here. It's his the second year of the offense? Yeah, it's his second year in this particular offense. Robbie Anderson was brought in last year because he was very familiar with this offense. So now you get DJ Moore in year two of this offense. So I'm expecting bigger things from him. With Curtis Samuel gone as well, I'm expecting to see him more in the slot. Just get utilized in a lot of different ways, man. He only finished with 4 touchdowns last year, which is probably the biggest knock on him. But if he's able to get you anywhere from, you know, 7 to 10 touchdowns, we're talking a wide receiver one at the end of this year. So
he's knocking on that door.
If he can boost, you know, those touchdowns up for sure, he's going to be a top 12 wide receiver. So yeah, I'm just looking at him and just so much potential there. Like I said, he lacked the touchdowns, but other than that, he had an amazing year, man. I mean, you definitely want to see your guys go ahead and score, but he wasn't able to do that. You know, there was a lot of McCaffrey and Mike Davis going on there last year, and Curtis Samuel was taken from him. So, you know, I'm expecting big things for DJ Moore in year two of this offense over there in Carolina, man. I love where we got him here. He has potential to finish higher, man. His ceiling is very high.
Yeah, man. I think a lot of we know it last year. I believe the both of you are real, you know, DJ Moore truthers. I would say I know a little bit more about the guy now. But the thing, what I like to look at is, you only got 4 touchdowns, and you're like, shit, what the fuck is so special about this guy? And then you look, 1,193 yards on the season. You know what I'm saying? Like, he still puts up that yardage. And if he could bring that touchdown total up, which I think he can with Sam Darnold and all that other shit coming into the fold, you know, having some familiarity, you know what I'm saying, and all that other good stuff. You know, I know Robbie Anderson is there, but like you said, they lost Curtis Samuel. Sam Darnold is getting the offense that he didn't have in the Jets. You know, you didn't have a Christian McCaffrey over there. You didn't have people who could take a little bit of the, you know, the stress off of you, you know, trying to win a football game, you know what I'm saying, and everything else like that. So I think Sam Darnold will probably be a little bit more poised over here, over there in Carolina. And, you know what I'm saying? And the people to benefit from that is DJ Moore, the biggest thing that you can motherfucking do, bro. I'm definitely, I can see those touchdown numbers definitely coming up,
bro. He's one of those guys that, you know, he's down to go across the middle of the field and go ahead and snag some of these, you know, middle of the field type of routes, not afraid to take a hit. But, I mean, ranking number one in deep target. I mean, not number one. I think he was up there, though. He was high in number 6 in deep targets. So, I mean, not only is he looking across the middle of the field, he's looking to take the top off the defense all day, too. So, I mean, this guy, he's versatile when it comes to that.
Yeah. He's not even the fastest guy. Robbie Anderson's faster. Yeah, that's crazy.
Man, I like DJ Moore, man, but there's a lot of questions with him. A lot of questions. First and foremost, you were talking about his touchdowns has got to be up. 4 touchdowns is the most he's ever scored in a year. He's been in the league for 3 years. He's entering his 4th season. He scored 10 touchdowns total receiving touchdowns in 3 seasons. Yeah, Curtis Samuel's gone, but they drafted Terrace Marshall, who Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, is really familiar with from LSU. So I feel like that's going to come into play. CMC playing hopefully a full season, I think that's going to come into play. So DJ Moore, yeah, if he gets double-digit touchdowns, he's going to be a wide receiver one. Sam Darnold's coming in, and we were just talking about chemistry. He's already got that chemistry with fucking String Bean, with Robbie Anderson, right off top. And then, you know, he's coming in. Yeah, DJ Moore will probably play in the slot, but I heard that Terrace Marshall is going to be playing out of the slot too. So yeah. I think if that really does happen, whatever advantages that we thought DJ Moore was going to have out of the slot, Terrace Marshall is going to take that away. DJ Moore, though, he is a fucking talent. He does get open. He does break out big run, big plays. And like you said, averaging 18 plus yards of reception. That's crazy. Big play ability, my bad. But yeah, man, DJ Moore, I don't know, man. Like, they picked up his 5th-year option. So they still love him over there in Carolina. So the team is still committed to him for a reason. I'm cool with that. I'm willing to give DJ Moore a shot. 2nd year in this offense, see what happens. The talent is there, without a doubt. This could possibly be his breakout year. So hopefully that happens. DJ Moore at 16, I'm happy with it. The potential is there. And I think he will score more than 4 touchdowns. But I think it's going to be in between the 4 and 10. He's going to be somewhere around 7 or 8, something like that. But, hey, that's a nice improvement. You'll be doubling up your touchdowns. I'm cool with that, too.
Yes, sir. I mean, you make great points. I mean, the Terrace Marshall addition, I can't really pinpoint why they would put him in a slot. He's a little bit of a bigger frame as opposed to DJ Moore. But I could see him being a more of a red zone factor, which is going to take away from DJ Moore as well. So there are, you know, real question marks here. We're talking about the slot. I think they should give that to DJ Moore. It makes sense for them. It makes sense for the type of player and ability that they have. So, but they're, like you said, great points, man, to knock DJ Moore down a little bit, because if those things come into fruition, it's going to be a headache having DJ Moore on your team, bro.
Yeah, what is he like then? Like, it goes down to what? Like, wide receiver or two at high upside?
Yeah. He's wide receiver two with you know, high upside for sure, without a doubt.
Yeah. Let's dive right into the number 17, man, Amari Cooper. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Cowboy Nation over there. This guy, I feel like he's another guy who is a safe wide receiver too, but his ceiling, especially with Dak back in the picture, is, you know, just otherworldly. Like, this, their chemistry is undeniable. We saw his targets go from 13 a game to almost half of that at 7 a game when Dak departed and got injured. You know, that's a whole extra 6 targets per game. You really, you know, you take that away from somebody, I don't care who you are, you're going to lose numbers. You're going to lose a lot of fantasy value. And that's exactly what happened last year. Amari Cooper was on his way to have a ball of a season. But, you know, like I said, we get Dak, the return of the Dak, you know what I'm saying? So we're looking for big numbers from what's his name? Amari Cooper here. I know CeeDee Lamb is out there. I know Michael Gallup is out there, but I'm not really worried about the target share, because game script is usually going to point to more passes. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to target share, I'm not worried about it. Yeah. So the only thing really is Dak is back, bro. You don't got to worry about Cooper, you know, shitting all over the fucking place this year. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with that. I'm cool with some Cooper for sure this year. Errol's pointing up.
No, yeah, for sure. I think Dak coming back. You know, the defense, we talked about it last show, Michael Parsons going over there is going to help, but that's not going to fix the whole defense. The defense is still not going to be right away like a big impact defense. The arrow's trending up, and that's cool, but the Cowboys are still going to have to put up points. And you get Dak back, that just helps the whole offense. So Amari Cooper, 17, he's got the commitment from the team with the contract and everything. So, yeah, super safe play. You know, we like him a lot. Amari Cooper, he's a great wide receiver to have, man. He's got wide receiver one upside every week. So, yeah, I'm rocking with that Amari Cooper for sure.
Yeah, another guy with just high ceiling, high volume. Dak likes him, you know what I'm saying? Even though we had CeeDee Lamb in the first show, you know what I'm saying? You got to think about who the remainder of the targets are to go to. And, you know, I'm mad that the Raiders didn't keep him along, you know, couldn't do anything with him. And then he shows out in Dallas, which is usually what happens with players when they go to different teams. You know what I'm saying? They end up showing out. But, you know, shout out Amari Cooper, bro. I think he's a safe play. Like you said, Brody, he's got wide receiver one potential every fucking week in and out. I'm not mad if you got him on the team. I am taking CeeDee Lamb over him. You know what I'm saying? But that's just based on how young he is, you know what I'm saying? And the numbers that he was being able to put up, you know what I'm saying, without having Dak there, you know what I'm saying? So, but with that being back for Amari Cooper, that's great. Shit, Dak just being back for that offense, period, is great. We've seen everybody fall apart in Dallas when that shit, when he went away, man. So I'm definitely happy that fucking Dak is back, even though I don't got no kind of stock in any Dallas Cowboy. But good on Amari Cooper, gents.
Yes,
good
sir.
Good to go.
All right, man. Let's get into number 18. We talk about T. Higgins. All right, let's just go. Quick stat, man. Last year, 6 touchdowns, 908 receiving yards, 108 targets, 67 receptions, man. So, look, shit. I put it on here, bro. T. Higgins is a great asset, not only to the Bengals, he's a great asset to fantasy football, too. But the thing is that once Joe Burrow got hurt, his fantasy motherfucking stature took a motherfucking straight dip. You know, he had 5 great games, and 4 of those games were played with Joe Burrow. You know what I'm saying? So you're one outside of that. You know what I'm saying? Even though, you know, Joe Burrow's coming back, T. Higgins is still a great selection. I think he's a little bit undervalued. You know what I'm saying? And it's because of the addition of Ja'Marr Chase being there, and everybody like, fuck, it's Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Like I said, Ja'Marr Chase came, got drafted, and immediately became the wide receiver one there. But we all know that Joe Burrow can handle big-time wide receivers. A.J. Green, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. You know what I'm saying? When it's there. Now, no A.J. Green. You replace that with Ja'Marr Chase. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, okay, we got Ja'Marr Chase higher, you know what I'm saying, than T. Higgins. Great. Well, they're not. He's not the only person that you can fucking throw to. You know what I'm saying? And if I had to take any other wide receiver from there, it would be fucking T. Higgins. And like I said before, when we're talking about Ja'Marr Chase, they do not have a definitive a tight end who's a stud over there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm expecting that target share to someone be the same. Now, I know Joe Mixon is there too, and his pass catching ability is great. And you know, Joe, that they didn't do shit about that O-line. Like I said, he passed up off Penei Sewell. So maybe there might be some checkdowns, but Joe Burrow still, I think he's got a high football IQ, you know what I'm saying? And when it comes down to it, I still think that T. Higgins is very, 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 very safe. You know what I'm saying, bro? Like, I wouldn't be mad having him where he's going. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get a T. Higgins on your team, oh, shit, Ja'Marr Chase, if you're worried about that, don't be worried about that, bro. Dude, there's a shitload of targets. They pass the shit out of that ball on the Bengals. And like you said, their fucking defense sucks ass. They're going to be in shootouts constantly. They're going to be in that shit. Be looking for that. You can't throw the ball to Ja'Marr Chase all the motherfucking time. I think he's going to be a stud over there, Ja'Marr Chase. But at the same time, I think T. Higgins' ceiling is still there. And people, and you know, the people who are motherfucking like fading T. Higgins because Ja'Marr Chase is there, please join any league that I'm in so I can get me some T. Higgins and motherfucking go ahead and blast y'all out the water. You know what I'm saying? Like, fucking, because you passing up on some great fucking talent there. Not to mention, he was just a rookie last year. This is his sophomore season. I'll take that NFL experience, you know what I'm saying, and use that. At the ADP that he's at, I don't mind fucking getting him. You know what I'm saying? Fade him if you want to. I'm getting me some T. Higgins if he's there.
Yeah, T. Higgins, for me, man, he's one of those guys that even I undervalued him for a while there. 6'4" frame, you know what I'm saying? He's going to go up and be the red zone guy most times. I probably put my money on him getting the targets in the red zone. He's a big dude, man, very talented as well. The thing with this offense is I think they really have a chance to be a top five offense. Like, they, in my eyes, I feel like the Bengals, you know, that offense is, you know, sky's the limit. With the game script usually favoring them, you know, I think that defense, like you said, It's not gonna help the team much, but it'll help that offense and the numbers. Boom. So when we look at it like that, it's a perfect situation. Joe Burrow is a guy who I think can support three wide receivers here. I think he can go ahead and pitch the ball to Higgins, Chase, and Boyd. I think those three guys are gonna be really good this year. And like I said, this offense has potential to be top five, definitely top 10. But yeah, like I said, when Joe Burrow went out, they were passing the ball at a 62% clip. When he went out, they dropped to almost 50%. It's a whole 12 to 15 point drop off from his, like, how much he used to pass the ball after with, what was it, Ryan Finley and whoever the other guy was. Yeah, they just completely stopped passing the ball in the way they used to before when Joe Burrow was there. So from 62% to 50%, it's a big drop off. All your receivers are going to take hits. That's exactly what happened last year.
Hell yeah, man. Burrow being healthy, that's the most important thing. And it's kind of funny. We were just talking about Amari Cooper right now, right before this. It's kind of like the same situation. Like, it really is. You lose your stud quarterback, your receivers are going to take a hit. You get him back, and they all should, you know, get back to what we expect. And that's what we're looking with T. Higgins. Yes, second year in the league. He doesn't have, like, you know, this big resume or whatever, but one thing he does have, he's got a connection already with Burrow. Like Brody said, really, like, most of his big games came with Burrow. That's not a fluke thing. You know what I'm saying? So you should be able to see him coming into this year, be able to ball out, because this team, again, they're going to have to put up points to compete. It's just a matter of fact. That's what's going to have to happen. So I feel really comfortable with T. Higgins. You know, if anybody's sleeping on him, anybody's, you know, down about him, especially in your guys' dynasty leagues, go ahead and target him, man. Go and draft for him, man, before he starts popping off and starts proving that, you know, yeah, maybe he's not going to be every week number one wide receiver, but he's going to be as steady as they come just because of that offense and what they have to do. So this guy is definitely like a high wide receiver two every week, but his ceiling is a wide receiver one every week too. Yeah. So.
And how long is Tyler Boyd? How long does Tyler Boyd have left in that offense as well?
I think that it's just this year.
Yeah, so let's say this is his contract year, you know, and something doesn't work out. Now you got – this is why these are the dynasty rankings, bro, for the future. So T. Higgins that can actually have a really good year this year and be in an offense maybe next year where he doesn't have to deal with the Boyd or anybody else to that caliber, because Boyd, I feel like he's really good. But if he doesn't make it on the team, you know, after this year, you're looking at, you know, instead of having him here, we'll have T. Higgins on the front end of these wide receiver twos instead. You know what I'm saying? And Jamar Chase would definitely take a bump up here. But, you know, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, I feel like they complement each other really good, too. It's like the small guy, the small burner and Jamar Chase. And then you got your big boy and T. Higgins. So you got the X and the Y right there. Perfect complement to each other for the future to come, I think.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go to the number 19 wide receiver on our dynasty list. That's Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk from the San Francisco 49ers, bro. Brandon Ayuk, man.
Makes you want to say it.
The Yak King coming out of college. And this guy, man, it's one thing he can do is get that the yards after catch. Last year, only played 12 games. In those 12 games, he had 60 receptions, 748 yards, 5 receiving touchdowns, and 2 rushing touchdowns. Which is big. That the fact that they use him all over the field and every single type of formation, they find ways to give him the ball. Let's not forget, and I know this is probably a lot of people will be like, oh, it doesn't even matter. But still, you lose your starting quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo, or you know, you lose your starting quarterback on any team. That's a big hit right off top. So now you got Jimmy Garoppolo coming into this year, but then you draft Trey Lance. So now you're either way, the quarterback play is up. It's going to be higher and better than what it was last year, which should open things up for, you know, second year in the league, Brandon Ayuk. In the games he played, he averaged 15.4 PPR fantasy points. That ranked 15th amongst all wide receivers. Every single one of them, that ranked 15th. So you already know this guy is a wide receiver too. Coming into this year, don't look at him as nothing less than that. Please do not do that. That's a big mistake. Remember, like I just said, the quarterback play is being elevated no matter who's in there, with whether it's Jimmy Wapo or motherfucking Trey Lance. That motherfucking Jimmy Wapo, you know, hey, whoever it is, you're getting better quarterback play. So, you know, I know one thing about the Niners, they're always injured, right? You think about Kittle, Debo, and even Ayuk, and all the fucking plethora of running backs that they've ever had. You know, these motherfuckers, either quarterbacks or their backup to the backup quarterback. You had CJ Beathard of Bethlehem throwing a rack in there and all this shit.
I was waiting for that one.
Bro, hey, whenever we talk about the Niners, we got to throw that shit in there. But one thing is for sure is this Shanahan offense is proven, and they like those yak motherfuckers. And George Kittle, that's what he is. Debo, that's what he is. Motherfucking Ayuk, that's exactly what he is. Last year, weeks 5 through 7, all three of them actually got to play. Let's talk about their snap share, snap percentage. George Kittle, of course, 96%. Brandon Ayuk was second at 86%. And Debo was at 78%. So that's showing you where the Niners see Ayuk. Don't forget, they did trade up to get into the first round to draft Ayuk. And Ayuk ranked number 2 out of rookie wide receivers in fantasy points per game. He trailed only Justin Jefferson. So let's go. Brandon Ayuk season. You guys know how I feel about it, man. I love me some Ayuk, man. Let's go.
He's your guy. You know what I'm saying, though, too, Ben. You can't look past this guy. And then to put up whatever numbers to see the yak percentage, to see the snap percentage, and then to, you know, and him being injured, you know what I'm saying, and everything else like that, though, to still pass up on this guy. What's great is that, like I said, a lot of people are faded. We're like, oh, man, the 49ers get hurt all the fucking time. Oh, please, please let me get that. It's not like you're going for the running back over there in the 49ers. That's a little bit more harder to decipher. But wide receiver-wise, like you said, fucking Kittle, Ayuk, Deebo. That's what the fuck is going on over there. And that's what the fuck they have. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody else has stepped into that shit and motherfucking really outshined any of these cats. You know what I'm saying? I love fucking Ayuk, bro. I love fucking Ayuk. 5 touchdowns, 748 fucking yards, 96 targets, 60 receptions. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, Jimmy Guapo being hurt, man, it was tough for the 49ers last year. I like, if you had to put that American Red Cross sign, it'd be right there on the fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like,
they were posted. They were posted.
Yeah, how many times did I see the 49er symbol with the little handicap, with the little handicap guy out there? Man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was fucked up and it was crazy. You know what I'm saying? So it was treacherous and horrible last year for 49ers fans, but fucking, you know what I'm saying? But they're still a great team. Even with all that shit, you're still a great team. And
that's the coach.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's Shanahan in that office. You know what I'm saying? But fucking, man, you can't pass up to what IU does. You know what I'm saying? Everything. And Yak is real big for me when it comes to fantasy fucking period. You know what I'm saying? Not only catching the ball for, you know, for a bomb, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's what you can do after the catch. Exactly. That gets you those points. That gets you those points, that volume. Because in the fantasy world, volume is what fucking what gets us over. Yep. The more chances we got, the better chance we got at fucking winning the fucking goddamn fantasy match. You know what I'm saying? And Ayuk is one of those guys.
Definitely. One more thing before Sweetness, you touch on this fucking pause, right? Motherfucking Ayuk. Matt Harmon, we know who he is, man. Shout out Matt Harmon, reception, perception. And this guy charts out wide receivers. And he looks at every single matchup they have, man-to-man, against man-to-man coverage, against zone coverage, press, when they back off them, or, you know, what kind of routes is they're running, fly routes, the short routes, the intermediate routes, whatever it is. And he said that Ayuk is next up. And this is the same guy that has scouted Allen Robinson back in the days in Jacksonville. He said he was next up. We already know what's up with A-Rod, bear the fuck down. We've seen what's up with Ridley, another guy that he scouted. We already know what's up with him. Scary Terry, another one of those guys. And now Ayuk is the next one in line. So, yeah, man, Brandon Ayuk, I think the arrow is all the way up. Trade for him right now. Try to get him on your squad. It's about to go gold. It's about to be gold time for this guy.
Yeah, man, Ayuk, and that's great. Great work by you and checking out Matt Harmon and, you know, reception perception. I mean, he's calling all these guys, man. So he's got something. He's got something in the mix right there where he knows, he sees it, and he recognizes the talent. So, you know, that's a guy I'm definitely going to be keeping more tabs on. You know, I'm not going to let you be the only one using him as your source. So I'm going to go ahead and start, you know, paying more attention to him. But, yeah, man, you guys hit Ayuk on the head. This offense is very, I don't want to say basic, but we know what we're going to get. You know what I'm saying? With the running backs, we don't know what's going to happen. And frankly, we don't care because we're not drafting them anyway. You know what I'm saying? Unless you get a great value somewhere, like a Trey Sermon down the line or a value like that, and you can take a shot at an RB like that. But other than that, man, the guys that are gonna catch the ball is simple. It's gonna be, you know, Deebo, Ayuk, and Kittle. And you know, knock on wood, Kittle's just very injury prone, and that's just a fact. So if he goes down, man, those numbers are going up for Ayuk and Deebo. The one thing about Ayuk, I mean, they're probably going to be looking at him to stretch that field a little bit more this season. They got a taste of what he could do. I think he's going to take the top off defense a lot this year. Just talented, bro, on another level. He's like a faster, more elusive Deebo Samuel to me. So I think he's going to be the guy to make the splash plays and take a bigger leap than almost probably anyone on that team this year. So definitely get you a piece of Ayuk, man.
Ayuk.
That takes us to our what number is what number did we put Evans on here?
We got him at 20. Yeah,
we got Evans at the dub, straight 20, man. Man, yo, Mike Evans. Yeah, if y'all know what that means, man, sorry about that. But that, yo, so Mike Evans, bro, man, excuse me, I got a burp coming, but it's not coming. So Mike Evans, bro, this guy on another level. Okay, so I know a lot of people are going to say Antonio Brown's going to be here full season, full off season with Brady and the whole nine, right? There's going to be a lot of talk about that, about Gronk and obviously Godwin on the other side. But Mike Evans has been doing this shit for a while now, man. No matter who's around. Seven straight seasons with 1,000 plus yards, bro. Seven straight seasons. He's never, ever since he came in the league, he's never been under 1,000 yards. Five of those seasons, he scored eight or more touchdowns. He just had a career high in touchdowns at 13. So, yeah, give me the Antonio Brown or Gronk.
Jesus Christ.
You know what, bro, I'm saying? Give me the Gronk or the Antonio Brown argument, and I'll tell you, guess what, bro? It doesn't change what Mike Evans is or his role or the red zone targets that he was, you know what I'm saying, just the best at. Number four in red zone targets and number four in touchdowns, which means that usually when they went to him in the end zone, they usually found him. So the thing with him is people will also use the argument that maybe he's a little bit too touchdown reliant. Well, you know what? That's okay, because he's a fucking red zone machine. If there's a guy that I want to be touchdown reliant, it'll be him. You know what I'm saying? But the argument is fair. You know what I'm saying? In seven games where he scored under or had under 80 yards receiving, he, you know what I'm saying? What's the no? Hold on, I'm mixed up here. I think I'm reading the wrong guy.
Hell no.
No, it's Mikey. It's for sure. But the whole thing is, like, in those seven games where he was under 80 yards, he kind of saved himself by scoring a touchdown, which I'm kind of fine with. But it's one of the few guys that I'll be cool with being a little bit more touchdown reliant, even though it sucks, right? We don't ever want to rely on a touchdown, but he scores them. And he kind of scores the most at that position for touchdowns. So, I mean, he scored 2.27 points per fantasy in per target in fantasy, bro. So that's, he didn't even stupid. Have. Yeah, there was a note on AJ Brown that was similar like that, bro. Yeah. Smoking Jay brought it up. You don't even got to catch the ball and you're scoring points. He's at 2.27 per target, ranked number eight overall. Like I said, man, he's your perfect like picture of a wide receiver two.
Oh yeah.
And the upside for me is definitely, you know, somewhere in the top 10. So this dude is, like I said, he's on another level. He's got his own role on this team. He's the only guy that does what he does on this team. And he's been doing it for the longest time as well with, you know what I'm saying, whoever you wanted to put at quarterback at times. Yeah. I love Mike Evans, bro. And I literally, one of the most underrated guys, overlooked guys for a very long time.
Yeah.
So bad. And yeah, you know, you could argue that, you know, his frame or whatever is the reason why you know what? That's not his fault. The dude's a fucking beast. He's a machine and he uses it to his advantage. He bullies people around the fucking football field. And that's the type of dude I want on my team, bro. Like I said, fucking five seasons with eight or more touchdowns, bro. This guy scores. This is what you want, bro. This is the kind of wide receiver that you want. And honestly, bro, the way I see him dropping in drafts, like, all the time, we're going through some drafts right now, and he's dropping, bro. And I'm looking at him like, damn, I can't believe he's dropping that much, because he has never really given you a reason to not draft him. So if you're fading him for whatever reason because of the Godwins and Antonio Browns, you know what I'm saying, just leave more of that stock out there for me, bro, because, like I said, he hasn't steered us wrong yet. The definition of consistency at the position, bro.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I mean, this guy, he plays through injuries, never has missed. He's always played at least 13 games per season. Most times he plays 16 or 15. Man, dog, like, what else do you want? Like, there's going to be games, like you said, where he probably won't have the receiving output that you want as far as, you know, catches and yards, but he'll save his ass with, you know, a touchdown or two. But how about the games where he puts it all together? How about the games where he gets all those motherfucking targets and all those catches and all those yards, and then he scores two or three touchdowns in those motherfucking games? How about those games? Yeah. And, when he does that, he comes up, you know, as the number one receiver for the week, and he is more than capable of pulling out these games, especially with Brady there. I know we don't know what's up with Brady for the future. I think he has another year or two left at least, and that means great things for Evans. But Evans has produced no matter who the quarterback has been. But let's not forget, you know, famous Jameis was the one over there throwing him the ball. And they were always not on the same page. There's so many plays that I saw that Evans would just, he'd be running a whole different route. He'll be running a whole different route. And I don't know if it was on Jameis or on Evans, but my whole point is this. He's been able to produce with a quarterback like that. Of course, he's going to produce with Brady. And we don't know what the future holds at the QB position. But one thing's for sure, Evans is as consistent as they come. So, yeah, man, Mike Evans falling in drafts, all that. If you could get him for the low right now, go ahead and get you some Mike Evans.
There's one stat that I saw real quick, Drew. One stat that I saw on him. He had one game this past season where he had two receptions. Both of them were touchdowns. I was just like, that's just crazy, man. It's literally all he did for your team that week. And he still didn't shit the bed. You know what I'm saying? It was still cool. He still fucking didn't goose egg you or give you anything under double digits. He's just been crazy how he's been able to do it for so long.
Yeah, man. And
just he had 2 yards in that game too, by the way. two. I'm looking at it right now.
You talking about the definition of a goal line wide receiver. I never heard of one of those.
What
but
the fuck?
There it is. Oh,
man. Take it away from that, though, man. The caveat what y'all are saying, bro. We also get the news that motherfucker Tom Brady during the whole last year wasn't actually 100%. And now he gets the cleanup of his motherfucking injury. He's coming in. Maybe that deep ball is a little bit more there. But Mike Evans has always been in that category for me as one of those give me that receivers. Anytime that ball goes up, give me that.
Yep.
Give me that motherfucker. Give me that. And not only that, I watched tape, and all last season, I've seen a lot of pass interference calls. You know what I'm saying? Being called, you know what I'm saying, on whoever's defending him. Just imagine if those calls, you know what I'm saying, they don't motherfucker pass interference, you know what I'm saying, and motherfucker, he's able to go up and get that motherfucker rock and go ahead and make it count.
Marshawn Lattimore.
13 touchdowns is fucking nuts, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's got to be the most on that fucking squad. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, bro, the dude's a monster. Bro, period. He's a give me that motherfucker receiver. He's done, like you said.
Give me that.
He's passed, I don't know how many motherfucking seasons of getting 1,000 plus receiving yards, bro. And not only that, what?
We could just call it every season. Every season he's every season,
you know what I'm saying? So he finished wide receiver 11 last year. You know what I'm saying? I know we're talking dynasty. He's a little bit of an older guy. We don't know how long Tom Brady's going to be along, but right now, take it along for the ride right now.
Yes,
we're
sir.
We're not telling him to, hey, wide receiver one, Mike Evans. You know what I'm saying? No, we're not saying that. You know what I mean? Go get you the value that you want to get first. But at the same time, having a Mike Evans in your wide receiver core, it doesn't hurt you.
I feel like we disrespected him on this. I think he should be a lot closer to Godwin. I really, really do. I was thinking about it too,
you know.
But I'll tell you this.
I was just about to say
it's not because of Drilly though.
Yeah. And I had him. It was just one of those like.
Yep.
You know, dropped him a little bit, but yeah, disrespected. And I was just gonna say too, he's probably the best wide receiver too here that we could actually say, yo, week in and week out, consistent as fuck, has a chance to finish the wide receiver one every week. I mean, it's just this dude is unreal, yes, man. Sir.
Man, give me that, man, bro. Shouts out to motherfucking Mike Evans and the motherfucking Tampa Bay Buccaneers, bro. Can't figure
some buckaroos, the real pirates of the league.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Drill's a big time Raider Nation kind of guy.
Yeah, but, man. You know. I'm tired of that, man. Quit shitting on, you know what I'm saying? Fucking Aiden. Raider Nation, bro. I like him, bro, too, bro. That's just what it is. I grew up like that, like I said. But we go get into the number 21 motherfucking wide receiver, and that's Diontae Johnson. And oh my God, bro. Anytime we're tired, it's tough when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, period. But one thing that sticks out for me, just like it stuck out for motherfucking Keenan Allen at 147 targets, we got Diontae Johnson at 144 targets. Come on, bro. He's playing out of the slot. We got noodle arm Ben the Rapist, who his depth yards, they can't fucking get the ball down there. I don't know, man. Unless this guy motherfucking got Jack's arms from Mortal Kombat in this motherfucking offseason. You know what I'm saying? I don't see that shit changing, bro. He's looked for Diontae Johnson motherfucking early and often, bro. What kills me a little bit, though, is 144 targets and only 88 receptions. That's a lot of targets and a little area. I know he's got some drops in there, but there's so many people fading this cat, and I have no fucking clue why. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard. I understand that wide receiver core is very, very talented, But fucking, you know what I'm saying? Noodle arm, Ben the Rapist over there can't get that ball fucking super, super crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I had Deontay Johnson a little bit lower than what the fuck you guys had him, but now looking at the numbers and everything else like that, you know what I'm saying? It kind of changes my position a little bit. But he's definitely undervalued. I wouldn't pass up on a Deontay Johnson, you know what I'm saying? I'd probably take him a little bit higher than what his ADP is at, just based off of Ben Roethlisberger not being able to get that rock down there. But the thing with the year, this year that changes is that they have an actual fucking running back who fucking can take a little bit of that heat off. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about 144 targets for Deontay Johnson. I think almost every wide receiver almost got close to 100 targets. Ben Roethlisberger was really wearing out his motherfucking arm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy. Everybody's saying that the Pittsburgh Steelers were the worst 11-0 team, which is crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because they fell off at the end of the motherfucking season and everything else like that, though, too. But you're talking about Deontay Johnson, 7 touchdowns. He's a safe play for me, too, just because of Ben Roethlisberger. You know what I'm saying? And where he's looking at him and playing out of the slot where he's at, bro. He's awesome. Like I said, I think he's fixed his drop situation and everything else like that. The reason why you got 144 targets, too, not only because Ben Roethlisberger's arm is weak, but that you can get open. You earn that target share. You really do. When you have that high of a target share, you have good rapport with your quarterback, and you're getting open. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is that if you're like, oh, he drops the ball too much, motherfucker, you wouldn't pass up on DK Metcalf if he had drops. His drops were like right, Deontay Johnson was number one in drops in the NFL last year. But motherfucking DK Metcalf was number three. You're going to fade DK Metcalf because of his drops. Point. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, fuck it. Everybody has dropped fucking balls and everything else like that. But that's due to the high volume of target share that you're receiving. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason that you pass up on a Deontay Johnson, you know what I'm saying, because of that or anything else. Like I said, like I mentioned before, in fantasy football, what we're looking for is volume. And the fact that this guy is playing out of the slot, getting 144 targets, I know Najee Harris is coming in there. That's going to affect it a little bit. But I'm thinking that Ben Roethlisberger's arm is going to be a little bit more reserved because Najee Harris is going to be able to motherfucking take that toll off of fucking Ben Roethlisberger. But you know what I'm saying? But Deontay Johnson is still there. You still got to have that shit going on, bro. I love it. I love it. I love the people who are fading them and not looking at this stat line. You know what I'm saying? That's what really, you know, separates the men from the boys in motherfucking fantasy football is when you're in front of your fucking computer on your goddamn phone looking at all these stats, looking at air yards, looking at target share, snap percentage, and all the other good stuff, looking at coaches coming in and everything else like that. Be smart. Bears, Brews, and the Bros listeners, be smart. Look at Deontay Johnson's ADP and look where he's going. He is definitely being undervalued. And anybody who has almost close to 150 targets in a fucking game or in a fucking season, you're nuts to pass up on a cat like that. How y'all feeling about him?
Talk Deontay Johnson and his drops. That's like one of the main things and the main reason why people want to stay away from him. They want to say he has drop issues. Look, one thing you guys got to understand, he got benched in multiple games by Mike Tomlin because of his drop issues. His drop issues came via the concussion. He got concussed. Once he got concussed, he started dropping a ball. That's just what happened. Mike Tomlin said it was all in his head, you know, no pun intended, but you know, hey, but yo, no, because the concussion is a real thing, bro. Yeah, but you know, he tried to say, hey, it's all in his head, bro. Like, you know, when you get concussed because of a crazy ass hit or whatever, yeah, bro, you know, you're going to have some, you know, it's going to stay there. It's going to linger. You know what I'm saying? But Deontay Johnson, like you said, there's other big time star wide receivers that were dropping the ball just as much or just, you know, a little bit less than him. If you take out those three games where he got benched because of that, if you go ahead and pace it out, those 12 games, you pace it out, 178 targets. He would have had 110 catches, 1,180 yards and 9 touchdowns. This guy is one of those Matt Harmon reception perception guys too. He predicted a breakout year last year. And that's what he did. And this guy creates, he's one of the top wide receivers at creating separation. he gets open. It makes the job easier for, you know, a rapist burger to throw in the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, this guy could get it done. And he did it even 2 years ago when, you know, this dude, Mason Rudolph, and I forgot who else was even throwing him the rock. You know, Deontay Johnson is about that. He creates separation. He is on the way up, and this is the time to get him. If you can get him for the low, do it. I'm not worried about Ben Roethlisberger possibly leaving. That might be the best thing that could happen. You know, because I don't think he doesn't have the arm that he used to have. He just doesn't. So it's just a good thing to have a wide receiver like Deontay who gets that open for you when you have a quarterback that doesn't have the same arm that he used to have. So Deontay Johnson, man, coming in at 21, I still feel like, you know, we should have had him a little bit higher or lower, I guess, depending how you want to view it. But yeah, I love me some Deontay Johnson.
I kind of think that where we have him is perfect because of the question marks and you know, getting peppered with 144 targets, that's great and all. I don't think it's the best situation because of Big Ben, like you said. Now, I think he averaged like 6 or 7 yards per reception. A lot of that had to do with Big Ben's inability to go downfield. So a lot of those targets were not quality targets at all. Now they go and get Najee Harris, changes up the whole dynamic. Now you are probably going to get less targets, but you're going to see more valuable and quality targets. That's the way I'm looking at it. So, you know, you take a guy like Deontay Johnson, who, you know, obviously that separation is something that you want. I don't know what's going to happen with Juju. They're talking that he might play the slot a little bit more. I think Deontay Johnson is just fine there too, man. I don't really want to see him on the outside. Not with a guy like Big Ben. I don't want to see that. The talent would definitely go down. The numbers are going to go down if he starts to play, you know, on the perimeter instead of inside. So, I mean, I like Deontay Johnson. I love what he can do. But, you know, are we going to see the quality targets now? And, you know, now that Najee's back there and you got to worry about stuff like that. So I do think that's a plus for him. You know, the sooner that Big Ben gets, you know, decides to retire or whatever the case, the sooner we can start talking about Deontay Johnson's actual value here. You know what I'm saying? With the more competent quarterback. But yeah, I mean, I love Deontay Johnson, bro. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, man. Hey, just last thing to say about it, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's counting him as like a kind of like a low end wide receiver too, not knowing that motherfucker, there was 2 games that he left early in the fucking game due to injury. You play those 2 games with their stat line that he already has, bro, he becomes a low end wide receiver one. Bro, like, he's fucking, hopefully he still plays out the slot and doesn't go to the perimeter, like you said, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm still looking for him, you know what I'm saying, if it's like that, bro. I'm not mad if I got him on the squad.
Not at all, brother. We're going to dive into, what is Devonta, the 22?
Deuce.
The number 22, Deuce, ranked wide receiver in Dynasty. I feel like it's low. I'm not going to lie. I definitely had him higher than 22, but he hasn't done anything yet in the league. And that's one thing that we have to make very clear. You haven't done anything yet. We know there's a potential for buzz for every guy coming out of college, right? I don't think it's the case with him. They talk about his stature. They talk about his frame. He's small. He's skinny. He, you know, this, that, and the third. I mean, okay, cool. But he doesn't care. I love the fact that he's got tunnel vision. He's like, it's a business. This is about going out and performing. I don't really care what they're saying about my frame. I'm here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to ball out. Then he knows that. So let's get into some numbers here, man. In college, last year, best season he's had by far. In 13 games, he caught 117 balls for over 1,800 yards and 23 touchdowns. You know, eventually that got him to winning the Heisman Trophy over there. Just ridiculous stats, bro. Those kind of stats are something you expect from like a dominating running back or something like that. 1,800 yards plus 23 touchdowns. Those to me are like running back numbers. But instead, you know, you got this guy, Devontae Smith, coming out here. Now he gets to go to Philly with Jalen Hurts. You know, he gets reunited. They didn't really spend too much. Not that they didn't spend too much time together. They just didn't really have a lot of, you know, volume or games to play in college. I think that they were together for one season. And after that, you know, Jalen decided to take off and go to OU or whatnot. But it's a perfect situation for a guy like Devontae Smith on a team where there's really not a talent out there when we're talking about, you know, wide receivers, who's there? Greg Ward, Jalen Reagor, Travis Fulgham, guys like that. And all these guys, I mean, one of them finished 84th overall as a wide receiver. The other one 58, the other one 66. So all these guys didn't finish any higher than a number 60 wide receiver overall. With all the opportunity in the world to do so, they just couldn't get it done. And now we're talking about Jeffrey not being there. DeSean Jackson is gone. Zach Ertz is gone. We know what happened. So a plethora of, like, there's just so many vacated targets there that Devontae Smith is going to go ahead and get himself over 100 targets this season. I know that's going to happen. That's in the books for sure. So, I mean, I think the situation is perfect for him. The talent's there. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we look at when we look at guys. We look for opportunity and talent. Usually, I think he's got both coming up this year, bro. I think he's in for a big season.
Absolutely, man. Are we talking about probably the number one route runner that's coming out of college, Heisman Trophy winner in Devontae Smith? They're talking about moving Reagor to the motherfucking slot. Go ahead. Go ahead and move him to the slot. Because that means no matter where you line up him, on the left or on the right, man, you got target opportunity. And Devontae Smith, he could fucking eat you up. And what better place for him to go than the Philadelphia Eagles, who don't have nobody? They're going to have to fucking rely on Jalen Hurts is going to have to rely on that camp. You know what I'm saying? And if you got stock and you took Devontae Smith in a lot of your drafts, like my homeboy Sweet this year, bro, fucking kudos to you, because that upside for that is fucking massive. It's massive. I was kind of hoping to kind of get somewhat of a high ceiling with Jalen Reagor last year, but we seen what happened with the injuries and everything else like that. But Devontae Smith, a much higher prospect, and bro, you coming from a motherfucker where he came from and already having one season, you know what I'm saying, that kind of rapport with Jalen Hurts. Once they're in the offseason, like I said, it was hard for wide receivers coming in last year, rookie wide receivers, that is, coming in last year to do anything during the COVID, pandemic. And now having the type of shit, the rookies coming in now, having a full preseason to get in there, man, and to be able to learn the playbook and be able to be playing and practicing and the OTAs and all this other good shit, bro. Devontae Smith, he's up there. And I know what you're looking at. We're like, oh, shit, y'all got Devontae Smith that low and you got motherfucking Ja'Marr Chase that high. We're talking about record-breaking numbers with motherfucking Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, you know what I'm saying? And then we got one season that was played, you know what I'm saying, with motherfucking with Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith. But the thing is that fucking, there's still a massive upside there just because there's nobody else there. Like you said, man, Dallas go there. Jalen Reagor, hopefully he stays healthy. You know what I'm saying? And everything else like that, though, too. Man, Devontae Smith has the biggest opportunity to come out of here and motherfucking do his thing, bro. And I honestly think that he's going to win, bro.
I agree, man. That's the thing about it is, you can have all the talent in the world, and that's cool. But if the opportunity isn't there, it doesn't matter. Sometimes it's more about opportunity. When you have the talent meeting opportunity both at the same time, and that's what we're looking at right here, that's when shit's going to take off. You got a quarterback in Jalen Hurts who's got something to prove. There's already trade talks going on. I don't know if you guys heard that. There's already trade talks going on that the Eagles want to get Watson. Hurts will for sure be in that deal if that happens. But, we can't predict the future. That's just what's going on right now, as far as rumors go. Hurts got something to play for. He's trying to prove that he is that quarterback, that starting quarterback for an NFL franchise. So he's going to come out and do his thing. He needs somebody he could rely on. And why not look for somebody that makes the job easier for you? We were just talking about Deontay Johnson, how he created space with his route running. What do you think Devontae Smith is going to do? He's going to make his job easier for his quarterback, going to make his job easier for the whole team. So, yeah, Devontae Smith coming into Philly is going to help that offense out. He's going to help his quarterback out, and he's going to have big-time numbers. I love Devontae Smith. I think he's going to have a big year. Wide receiver 2 for sure for me. What's up?
Check it out, because I didn't mean to cut you off. But every time I hear about this kid, they say that he's a motherfucking gym rat. They say that his mentality is always in the sport. And one person that reminds me of a person that way is Kobe. You got a Mamba mentality. You got a Mamba type mentality. and you're a motherfucking NFL wide receiver, bruh. Man, hey, sweetie, bruh, I'm a little jealous. I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, man.
What's up, Devontae Smith? Give us some Devontae Smith.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's really opportunity, man. We see that there for him. So, yeah, Devontae Smith, I think by this time next year, he's going to be, you know, a lot higher in our rankings for sure.
Yeah, wide receiver one for sure, bro. I wouldn't be surprised to see him crack it, the back end of the wide receiver ones. It wouldn't throw me off or surprise me whatsoever. That's the ceiling, right? But they tried to comp him. I think I was reading on Fantasy Pros to a Marvin Harrison type build. Once you start saying names like Marvin Harrison in comparison to this kid, I'm that's a gold. That's a win for me right there, bro. So you know they Marvin Harrison was a little heftier, probably weighed like 10 more pounds than him. They're talking a lot of shit about Devontae Smith's frame and, you know, the whole everything you could pretty much knock on a guy that's too skinny, a little too fragile for the way that the game is or whatnot. But I'm just not buying into that, man. I'm definitely on the side with the athletes that are told that they're too small. I mean, how many times have we heard it? You know what I'm saying? They're too small. Don't have enough juice to compete with the big guys in this league. I don't see it like that. You know, I think talent trumps everything at the end of the day. So definitely on Devontae Smith, bro.
He's going to come out. He's going to come out and, you know, shut everybody up with that talk because the talent is there. You don't win a Heisman Trophy putting up those numbers on some fluke shit. Not at all, bro. And you know the defense was keying in on them. It's not like they saw the game before, you know, the week before, and they were like, we don't got to worry about. No, they were keying in on this guy, and this guy was still balling out. So, yeah, bro, Devontae Smith coming in at 22. Let's talk about our number 23 wide receiver. It's Jerry Jeudy, another baller, another second-year wide receiver we're talking about. You know, we have a lot of them on this list. And, man, over there in Denver, you know, it didn't go as planned, you know, for Jerry Jeudy. But still, man, he was still able to do his thing. He was still be able to get open. I have some stats on him. He had the most yards per reception last year with 16.5, you know, a clip that ranked third. These are the crazy stats to me. He ranked sixth in air yards in the whole league. Sixth. But ranked 105th in catchable passes. 105th, bro. Then on top of that, target accuracy. Out of wide receivers, he ranked 107th. But despite that, he ranked 11th in yards per reception. Crazy. Crazy that he was able to do that. But a Drew Lock and whoever the hell else was throwing him the ball over there. You know, that Drew Lock sucks, bro. He sucks so bad. And I was telling, I remember last year, I seen all these Instagram pages talking about, oh, make sure you get you some Drew Lock. You know, he has all those weapons and he's going to succeed over there. Bro, he's a bum, bro. He's a bum. I could smell another Mitch from a mile away, bro. Drew Lock, that's exactly what he was, bro. We've been suffering over here in Chicago with bad quarterback play. I knew it. I seen Drew Lock play. I was like, this guy's a bum. They brought in Teddy Bridgewater. Pair him up with Pat Shurmur over there. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens because Teddy didn't play that bad last year. He didn't. You missed your number one offensive weapon in CMC. That's what happened at Carolina. That's what happened to Teddy Breezy. Let's see what happens in Denver. He's got weapons. You got Jerry Jeudy. You got KJ Hamler. You got Cortland Sutton coming back. You got Noah Fant. You got some running backs, the veteran in Melvin Gordon, the rookie in Javonte Williams. And you got Tim Patrick is still over there. You have all these motherfuckers, but guess what? Jerry Judy's talent level is above and beyond. That's a fact, bro. We saw what he did in college. I just read you some stats right now that are low key that I know a lot of you guys, you know, probably didn't even know about. But that's okay. That's why the bros are here. We got your back. Make sure you lock in Jerry Jeudy. If you're a dynasty startup, get him right now for the low while you still can. Matter of fact, even if you're not in a dynasty startup, go ahead and trade for him while you still can, while the arrow's pointing down still. Because a lot of motherfuckers still have a bitter taste in their mouth about Denver and that passing offense. It's okay. Go ahead. go get you some Judy, because that motherfucker's going to ball out this year. Mark my motherfucking words, bro. Jerry Judy's future outlook, it looks great, man. How y'all feeling about him?
Hey, man, I love some Jerry Judy, man. I'm talking about a guy who gets separation, who gets open. He's exactly that. A lot of targets last year, but not many quality ones. Like you said, the stats don't lie. The numbers don't lie. The fact that he ranked like 105th for the, I don't remember the number you said, but in catchable targets is just ridiculously absurd.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we're not going to let 2020 throw us off, though. You know what I'm saying? We're going to 2021 with a different mentality as far as Jerry Judy goes. He is really good, and Teddy Beasley's there to you know, change everybody's mind, but we're ahead of the curve. Go, don't stay away from these guys. Don't stay away from the Jerry Judy's or the Suttons and people like that. But yeah, Jerry Judy, I would say by far is the most talented receiver on that squad. He's in for, you know, a sophomore boom type of year.
Breakout. So, yep.
Yes, sir. I'm vouching for it, man. I'm with it. I'm convinced, you know, the numbers don't lie, people, at all.
Look, when you read that type of stat line and you look at it, what you need to look at is that wide receiver's potential has not been unlocked. And that goes with the Henry Ruggs. That goes with the Darnell Mooneys of the league. That goes with those type of receivers. That potential has not been truly unlocked yet, and how they're able to be able to go off. And what all those wide receivers have in common is inconsistent quarterback play. So, you know what I'm saying? You insert motherfucking Teddy Bridgewater, who we said, just like that, wasn't fucking bad last year, was missing a CMC, but now you have all these tools and everything else like that. You give Teddy Bridgewater that, I believe that target accuracy gets a whole lot better. Jerry Judy fucking steps into the motherfucking role of, you know, a Alabama guy, you know what I'm saying, coming out of that wide receiver core with the likes of everybody else, you know what I'm saying? You know, look at everybody else that came out of there, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, you know what I'm saying? Guys that motherfucking succeeded. Everybody succeeded coming from there. We know Jerry Judy's not bad. His motherfucking goddamn potential has been unlocked, and it's sad, and it's fucked up for fantasy owners that are like, yeah, I fucking love Jerry Judy. And then to have that kind of target accuracy and motherfucking not have all those passes passed to him, but they're not on target. Fucking sucks. That's the way we feel here in Chicago about our guy fucking Darnell fucking Mooney, bro. That's what it is, because we know that guy could fucking break the fuck out, but we're like, shit, and I had him. I don't give a fuck. I had him in the fucking rankings. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to motherfuckers. As soon as Justin Fields get in that game, y'all watch the fuck out. Darnell Mooney's going to be a motherfucking dog, man.
That's what it takes. It takes a quarterback that can put the ball where it belongs. At least give the wide receiver a chance, bro. But when you hear those type of stats that we were just talking about, like that's the bottom of the motherfucking barrel right there. Now you got Teddy Roosevelt coming in. Shout out Bogart for that one. Teddy Roosevelt coming in. He's going to do his thing and put the ball. Yeah, Teddy Two Gloves. He's going to put the ball in his spot. Will gives his receivers a chance to ball out. So I love it, man.
All right, man. That's enough on Jerry Judy, man. Stay up, bro. Hopefully we get a good season out of you, man. But we're going to get into the last but not least. And that's my guy, Juju Smith-Schuster, the TikTok star. Fucking, man, it's crazy. Look, bro, I know he's not the sexy pick. Not the sexy pick. Everybody's like, man, he fell the fuck off. Man, everything else, that's what fucking going on. And all this other shit, bro. It's just, and it's hard. Like I said, it's hard over there in Pittsburgh to pick motherfuckers in that wide receiver core, bro, because you don't know what's happening. We got motherfuckers that drop. But the one thing that, like I said, the one thing we have in common is that motherfucking QB play. That, what do they call it? The depth target yards or some shit like that. Like, we understand that motherfucking Juju's playing on the perimeter, and Ben Roethlisberger can't fucking launch that ball. Juju's an athlete. He's a stud. You know what I'm saying? It's just that you don't have a quarterback that motherfucking can get that ball like that. And not only that, his yak took a fucking hit from 2019 to 2020. A lot of people are fading him too. You know what I'm saying? I had him in the rankings before Deontay Johnson. And like I said, I think they're really neck and neck. And the reason why I say that is because you can't fade Juju because fucking he's fourth in the NFL in red zone targets. He scores touchdowns, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I'm saying, man? 9 touchdowns, 831 receiving yards, 128 targets, 97 receptions. You can't fucking pass that shit up. A lot of people are fading Juju, and that's great for me. Like I said, I just got him in Dynasty 2. He's my wide receiver 3, and that's where you should really be keeping him at right now. You know what I'm saying? Fucking just for the sake, yeah, like I said, he finished 16th as a wide receiver. You know what I'm saying? Like, fucking, come on, dude, the talent's still there. You know what I'm saying? I know everybody's looking for that drive. Like, oh, man, you know, what happened to that rookie motherfucking Juju who was, you know, running across the fucking field and catching on the New England Patriots and taking it for motherfucking all that yak. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, you know, I get it. He's not the sexy fucking pick. He's not the whatchamacallit, the AJ Browns. He's not up there. You know what I'm saying right now? You know, and that's all due to the quarterback play, though, too. You know what I'm saying? Of him not being able, Ben Roethlisberger not being able to get that ball down the field. But to say that Juju ain't shit, you're crazy. I don't give a fuck how many TikToks he do, and I hate TikTok. Believe me. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Fucking, you know, he does some weird shit. You know what I'm saying? Whatever,
dancing putting on wigs and shit,
dancing on the fucking logos and shit like that. But at the same time, though, I still think that talent is there. Now everybody's all excited. You know what I'm saying? In the fantasy world, they're like, "Oh, Claypool's coming out." You know what I'm saying? Claypool's fucking showing out. And I think the only reason why Claypool's capped last year is because Mike Tomlin wanted to keep him away and saying, you know, that he didn't want him to hit that rookie wall. You know what I'm saying? So, but the thing is that still you got Juju on the perimeter, you know, Claypool playing everywhere. You got Deontay in the slot. But one thing that changes all of that is Najee Harris. Then now they have a fucking running back that's solid. You know what I'm saying? What does this do for Ben Roethlisberger's noodle arm? It saves a little bit of the energy that he's got. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to use my strong hand.
This is my strong hand.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing, man. You know, hey, Big Ben, bro. Hey, I respect the man for being in the league as long as he have, and he's motherfucking won the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl MVP.
That. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, shit. But I give him that. But at the same time, though, too, man, like, I honestly almost can't see him if it doesn't go right. They got a much harder schedule this year. You know what I'm saying? How long is he gonna last?
Oh man,
and already Dwayne Haskins is getting praise. He's getting praise over there. I know he just got popped in the fucking mouth.
He's missing a tooth or two.
You know what I'm saying? You know, all the other shit, you know. Sorry, man. Domestic violence ain't nothing to really fucking joke about, but at the same time though. I'm glad whoever the fuck that is getting some time and all the other shit though too. Fucking shitbag ass putting your hands on motherfucking people.
Right.
Bro, back to the topic though, bro. Juju, I want to ask why a lot of people are like totally fading him. Fuck that. I don't want Juju. Like, man, I just can't do that. You come forth in the NFL on red zone targets. You know he's getting fucking open. He's not the biggest of bodies, but he's still athletic. I think if he gets rid of the foolishness and he gets back, he stayed in Pittsburgh, you know what I'm saying, when he had a motherfucking chance to leave, wanted his stock, stayed loyal to the fan base, you know, and that's what the Steelers as an organization is, you know what I'm saying? Having A.J. Brown leave, Le'Veon Bell leave, you know, for the reasons that they motherfucking left and everything else like that. The Steelers is an organization that if you stay around, you're rewarded. You know what I'm saying? You're in there, bro. But fucking, I don't know, man. I still like Juju. Like I said, I have a little higher. I got stock in him in the Dynasty League now too. I traded him in the other one, you know, in our other Dynasty motherfucking league. But at the same time, you know, I picked up good players for him. You know what I'm saying? So, but. Man, I'm not fading Juju. You want to fade him? Go right the fuck ahead. 9 touchdowns. I still think his touchdown potential is high as fuck. His targets are still high as fuck. But now we enter Najee Harris. We're getting fucking quality motherfucking targets now. We're getting quality targets now because we got a running back that can take a little bit off of Ben Roethlisberger's workload.
I think there's legit reasons to worry about Juju. We've never seen him get it done. Being the alpha dog wide receiver, I think that's why he comes in so low. The only reason he came in the only reason he's even on this list is because I'm trying to see who it was. One of us had him on our list. It was only one of us. I think it was Drill. Yeah. You're the only one that had him on. But you had him on the highest out of all of us. And I'm not mad at it, but I'm just looking at it like this. You know, the last time Juju really truly balled out, Antonio Brown was there. That was the first and only time he ever had over 1,000 yards and over 100 receptions. The only time. So he needs.
Who else was there? Who else was there?
Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. But my whole point is this, you know, when you talk about the wide receivers, because you could try to say, yeah, you know, Le'Veon Bell not being there was, I don't know. To me, Antonio Brown not being there is more important because now the defense is more, the cornerbacks, the DBs are more locked into you. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing, yeah, Le'Veon Bell's gone, but like, yeah, and you probably, you know, back off the rushing game a little bit. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to produce against these DBs. Juju hasn't been able to consistently prove that yet. But he does have some things going for him. He does. You know, they added Chase Claypool, who can play on the outside. You got Deontay Johnson, who can make plays out of the outside, too. So he's got those things going for him. Then on top of that, you know, you got the fact that he has 1 year left. He could have gone Kansas City, which I don't know why he didn't. But he didn't go there. He could have gone to Baltimore, which, you know, some people might say that was a good thing. Either way, he's got a 1 year deal.
He's got earned his Steelers jersey.
he's got a 1 year deal. You know, this is his contract year again. Let's see what he can do. And, you know, I think he's going to try to play on the outside. He's been saying it in camp. Oh, I could play on the outside. You know, I want to make plays on the outside. Why? Because players that play on the outside, wide receivers, that get paid more money. So this is a contract year. I think he has motivation to try to get that money. It's just a matter of Big Ben. Can he do that for him? I think that's really, really the question mark here. And it's something to me that I can't trust Big Ben, bro, to produce. Deontay Johnson and Juju and possibly Chase Claypool, I think it's going to be hard for him to do, even though I hear he's in the best shape that he's been in a long time. And I do hear that he's on a really, really strict diet, even more stricter than I think they said Tom Brady's. So that's crazy. If that's true, that's the only way that he's going to be able to shut, you know, doubters up like myself up. So I think Juju has a chance because I've seen the talent. I won a fantasy championship with him. You know, my bad sweetness, but I had to do what it do, baby. So, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. But you know what? It's been a long time since then. And I think Juju's arrow has been honestly pointing down for a couple of seasons now. He needs to redeem himself, and it needs to happen this year. But yeah, that's where I'm at with Juju.
We talk about guys like Joe Burrow that can give you, you know, three valuable receivers, because that's what he can do. His age, his arm strength at this level, at this point in his career, is way stronger. It's way, you know, way better than Roethlisberger's arm at this point in their careers, right? So there's a question mark there with Juju. I think he's gonna take a dip in touchdowns because Najee's there now. And, you know, they're not going to have to really look for him as a red zone threat. You know, his red zone targets were up there. Do I think that they're going to need to do that as much? I kind of don't, because Najee, we know he's the truth coming in. We know he's going to get that tick. We know he's going to get the ball. So I think he takes away from Juju to a lot. I think they're going to rely on Najee very often this year. You know, I don't think Ben Roethlisberger is going to try to do too much until the back end of the season, second half. We'll probably see them turn up a little bit more, because that's what they do with quarterbacks when they get, you know, toward the back end of their careers. They try to preserve them and squeeze into the playoffs and let them loose then. But as far as being, you know, being able to trust Juju, I can't. I would have preferred to see him with another quarterback, with another team that didn't have as many weapons to tend to. So yeah, like, the question marks are real, and you know, it's not something I'm trying to play with this year. I'd rather take, you know, some value picks in Deontay or Claypool and shit like that, especially in best ball, right? But no, I just too many question marks. The questions are tough questions, so I don't want to deal with that on my roster this year. I don't want to deal with, can he get my guy the ball? That's not a question I need to ask myself as a roster of any wide receiver. So it's not so much about Juju, It's more about the situation, and I think he might take a little bit dip in the numbers, even though, like you said, there's motivation there. There's more.
Oh, no, there's he's got a lot of motivation to not sign to a Super Bowl winning, not a Super Bowl, Super Bowl contending team, you know, to not do that and to pretty much bank on yourself. I respect that, bro. And that's somebody that I want him to win. I want him to do it. But there is a lot of reasons why I'm like skeptical about it.
He is just one of those guys that, like you said, bro, he kind of gone into the shadows, bro, in the last couple of years. And it sucks because you're the one that brought him to light, Smoking Jay. You brought him to light. I said, who the hell is this Juju Smith-Schuster coming out of USC?
I remember when I drafted him, I don't know if you remember, I had to write his name down on the stickies because they didn't have his name.
I said, who the hell is this kid? And then, you know, sooner than later, he put all of us on notice to how good he was. But then again, he was with Antonio Brown, who opened up the field like no other person. I mean, at the time, Antonio Brown was the best wide receiver in the league. So to take that away from him and then to see the numbers dip, that was real. That was it came into fruition. Could he hold up as the alpha receiver over there? He wasn't able to do that.
Yeah.
And like I said, he's kind of gone into hiding for a while here. This will be the most important year of his career. So, sure. You know, if he's ready, you know what I'm saying? If he's ready to deal with this shit, then I could say, you know, Juju's real deal because he stepped up when he had to, as far as his career goes. If he doesn't, and we see some decline in numbers, or we just don't see him perform to the talent that we think he was or think he is, then it's going to be, you know, it's going to answer all the questions I have about him as far as, like, am I drafting him ever again, knowing that he just cracked under pressure in the most important year of his career.
You know what, though? The thing about Juju is this, bro, too. Even if he has a bad year, if he does have a bad year, another good reason to have him in Dynasty is because if he's in a bad situation, he's going to go to a good situation next year. There's no way he's signing to a bum-ass team next year. He's going to sign somewhere where he's going to get those targets. So even if he has a bad year, Juju is still somebody you could still roster. Now, we told you guys why we don't feel too comfortable with him, but there is some positives to look forward to. The only thing is, can you wait that year? You know, if this is a bad year or off year for him, can you wait one more year having Juju and being frustrated with him? And that's going to be a call for you guys.
Yeah, like I said, we're not telling you to motherfucking set up in here and make him your fucking wide receiver one. We're not. Not even your wide receiver two. But being at a wide receiver three or having him as a flex, you know what I'm saying? It's not fucking bad.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? All I'm looking at is how the defense is going to play against Pittsburgh. And that's the only thing that's hard for me to accept because you're like, oh, we got to worry about Najee and everything else like that. And even if they do stack the box, they're like, well, Ben can't take it over the top on us. And if Ben motherfucking is not able to stretch that motherfucking field, the defense is going to play it the way they play it every single time. And we're going to see it early in the season too. Like I said, they got a tougher schedule than they did last year. They're going to have to work hard. They're not going to be 11-0 this motherfucking time. And believe me, I'm a Steeler fucking person. That's my father's favorite team is the Steelers. You know what I'm saying? So fuck it. It's big, man, bro. I like Juju, man, but it's at the same time, it's like, shit, I can see Ben Roethlisberger riding a fucking pine pony mid fucking goddamn, you know what I'm saying, if he doesn't get it done. Insert Dwayne Haskins, who has a little bit more of a motherfucking arm, and there you go. Juju might eat.
You never know. He's a talented young dude. He is contract year. Like I said, there's reasons for him to break out again. So hopefully he does for all those Juju rosters. But man, that's all we got for today. That was part two of the wide receiver dynasty consensus rankings. Hopefully that helps you guys out. Make sure you guys send those DMs in. Any questions? You know, we're getting close to draft day for redraft. But for Dynasty, if you guys still got the startups, you know, dialing up, get at us, man. We're here for you guys, man. Send those DMs over. We got the Listeners League. It's getting more and more filled by the week. So make sure you guys check one of our recent posts on Bears, Brews, and the Bros. You get all the details there. You just got to make sure you're following the Bros, following us on YouTube, and following us on one of the streaming platforms. It ain't that hard. It's a free league, $100 if you win it, and an autographed, authentic autographed Cole Kmet jersey. I mean, come on, man. You guys are listening to us. You guys love fantasy. Why not do it? Enter a league and win some shit for free. You know what I'm saying? So this is us giving back to you guys. You know what I'm saying? This is, you know, from us. Come on, man. Let's go.
It's a no-brainer. I wish I could join the league, but, you know.
I stole the Kmet jersey, so you're going to get a... Gonna get a Dwayne Haskins jersey.
Oh, no. Shit. What a drop off.
Hey, Matt, for next week, we're gonna be dropping the bold prediction episode. And if you guys remember, you know, for all the old listeners who's been our day ones, you guys remember last year's bold prediction episode. That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So this year, you know, hopefully we could bring that same energy. Some nice bold predictions. It's all in good fun, man. We're not, you know, it's going to be a good time, man. It's going to be a good time. We should have a special guest, Bo Jeezy, Bogar Scott Free of the GMM Network. He should be in the house for that one. And, you know, supposedly Doc requested some time off from Santa, and, you know, he's going to let him take the night off over at the North Pole. So hopefully we get some Doc action.
Damn, Cody Parkey's going to be on the show?
Cody Parkey going to be on the Parkey show, himself, man.
Bro, in the flesh.
Hey, man. For Doc himself, Renegade 2, motherfucking Drilly over there. Sweetness, it's your boy Smoking Jay. We will catch you guys in the next one. We appreciate the love. Bear the fuck down, baby.
Bear down.